Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I feel good. I knew that I would.
DJ Nicky T, my guy Nick.
So good.
He went and found it.
So good. I got it here.
Giants fans are feeling good. There you go, Stu. You should feel good. And you just heard John Mara say during the break that they felt like they dug themselves into a hole that there was just no other way out of. And it is good to see that someone as powerful as John Mara that owns the New York Giants can still change his mind. Swallow your pride and say, yeah, you know what? Actually, we had said week 15 or 16 we were going to keep Joe Judge, but actually, there's no way we can hire a new GM and stick Joe Judge on him. There's no way. It doesn't make sense. Some people are going to say that the fans forced that. So what? There's some smart fans out there. There's some fans that might know more football than John Mara himself. There's some fans that have watched the Giants for decades, and they have come to expect a certain brand of football, a certain way. It wasn't too late to reverse course, and I'm glad they took their time a little bit, but I'm glad that this didn't happen, you know, week three of next year. It would have been a mess. It's already a mess. You heard the caller say how everything is Giants in the last couple of days. From Sunday to Monday to Tuesday, everyone that could take a swing at the Giants before, you know, Joe Judge got actually let go, they were taking their swings because it was just ridiculous. People couldn't understand, how does Brian Flores, Mike Zimmerman, how do these coaches that are actually like respected coaches in the NFL, how do these guys get let go that have had way more success? And the Giants are just married to this guy? No, they're not. They're the Giants. They can do what they want. They don't have to. No one was forcing them. They don't have to stick with Joe Judge, and they did it. You know, the whole logic that had came up about, oh, that, you know, they don't want to quit on a guy too fast, I think they got that logic from elsewhere, right? I think outside sources or outside voices or whatever was saying, well, you had two years with McAdoo and Shermer. You can't go 2 years again. You got to see it out. But I think outside voices are like, well, in this case, let's make an exception. Let's go on to the next. You'll be better off. Joe Judge didn't show us enough. And, you know, I see some people like, even online, people are like, let's not kill Joe Judge. We're not killing Joe Judge. It's business. And people are like, oh, you know, he's got a family. Yeah, his family's well taken care of. He's made millions. And the Giants fired him. But for all we know, maybe there's some type of severance package. I don't know how it works. Maybe he gets paid out for the contract that he signed still. He, you know, maybe still gets part of that money. And can go coach somewhere else and collect another check. So he'll be fine. The humiliation, the embarrassment is one thing, but it's not like Joe Judge has to shoulder that all himself. Everybody that watches knows it started at the top with Gettleman. Joe Judge will be just fine. I have no sympathy for Joe Judge. I think he'll be just fine. He's 40 years old. The guy's going to get another coaching gig somewhere. For all we know, you know, McAdoo is an assistant coach with the Dallas Cowboys. Pat Shermer is an assistant coach. Where's Pat Shermer at? With the Broncos, I think. or he was when he left here at first. But either way, these guys all rotate and, you know, they find other places. So don't feel so bad for these guys, right? Feel bad for yourselves. You had to watch these guys run your team into the ground. Play the most, like, the worst brand of football, the least competitive, the most embarrassing brand of football. Taking QB sneaks inside the five, throwing for negative yards. Like, that's all-time bad. You deserve to be let go. At any level. I don't even remember that in Pop Warner. Played Pop Warner football. I played quarterback in Pop Warner. We even on Junior Pee Wee, we could complete a 5-yard pass. Even on Junior Pee Wee, we got a couple plays to call to not run a QB sneak twice. It shows that you didn't have faith in your guys, that you coached, that you prepared, right? You spend the whole week preparing for Sunday. There's no way in hell you practice taking a quarterback sneak on second down and third down. That was an in-game decision that you made. It's unacceptable. Gotta let you go. R.J. Barrett. I just watched R.J. Barrett throw one down. Knicks are up 30-19. His first quarter's about to end. Knicks are in control, looking like they're figuring some stuff out. I do not see Julius Randle on the floor. Julius Randle has played 11 minutes. He's got 7 points. Who's leading scorer? I think he's the leading scorer for the Knicks right now. Good. Julius, 1-for-3 from deep. Shooting 50% overall, but he's plus 11 right now. Keep it up, Julius. The way to win the fans back is to ball out and win games. The way to right the ship is to hit your shots. Be efficient. And do it humbly, quietly, and keep it moving. All the Knicks starters have at least 4 points. Could be a night where we see all five starters in double digits. You never know. Get your eyes on that Knicks game. We'll keep the conversation going about the New York Football Giants. I see the calls coming in. Ivan is out in Houston. What's up, Ivan? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing tonight?
All right, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I want to actually talk about two things real quick. So let me get to the first one with the Giants. I think the only issue I have with the Giants is let it be their decision. And I think sometimes they tend to listen to the fans a little bit. And the only issue I have with that is Giant fans are never wrong. So, like, for instance, I'm a huge Giant fan. I remember every draft, Giants Twitter. They all wanted Dwayne Haskins. They all wanted Coughlin fired his third year before he won the Super Bowl. They all said Eli sucked before he won the Super Bowl. They all, you know, like, just be careful with fans. That's all I'm saying. Like, I didn't think Judge was any good, but when you lose your quarterback, like, for instance, the Cowboys, they have a better roster than the Giants. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely.
Okay. They lost their quarterback. How many games did they win last year?
4. Well, same amount of games that the Giants won this year.
Exactly. So I think injuries, depending what type of injuries, do matter. But I don't think Judge was good anyway, so I don't want to stand here and fight for Judge. All I'm saying is just be careful when it comes to fans, because fans never forget how much they are wrong. That's all. I want to talk about the Nets, because I heard this today on another station, because I don't really like your midday, like the other show. The Kyrie issue, did you hear about this, that he couldn't play this whole time and he just had to pay a fine to New York?
Yeah, I've known about that. It starts at $1,000, and then once it gets up to like the fourth offense, it's $5,000, and then it's just a $5,000 fine for him to break the mandate. Yeah, I read about that on January 4th. Someone posted on Instagram. I didn't read much into it because I'm like, they're not going to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so I was just wondering what your take was on that. Like, do you think that maybe they'll change it now, being that we have struggled the last 2 weeks, and it, you know, I'm a little concerned about the Nets right now. They haven't played well in a long time.
Yeah, we should be concerned. I'll take it from here, Ivan. Thanks for the call.
All right, Keith. Have a great day.
So, story comes out today. It's not breaking news. This information had been out there for a couple weeks at least. People had been talking about it, I guess, in Nets circles or Nets Twitter or whatever. But I think Stephen Bondi wrote the article today where it said, you know, could Kyrie Irving play in Nets home game soon? Yes, but there'd be a price to pay. And then it outlined, you know, the fine that the Nets would have to pay. And I think, you know, it gets up to $5,000 is the max fine if he's going to do that. Now, when I first heard about this, I'm like, okay, our owner, Joe Tsai, $5,000 is like $5 to him. That money is nothing to the Nets organization. They make $5,000 a game at the first bar when you come into Barclays and hang a left. That bar right there probably collects $5,000 in one game. So it's not about the money. What I think is the Nets aren't going to do that. Not for regular season games, right? These are regular season games. The Nets have plenty of talent, plenty of guys. We're also talking about a vaccine mandate, where Kyrie could just get the shot versus like Kyrie not getting the shot and then us paying a fine for him to play basketball. And then also, right, with the team struggling, we lost the last game with Kyrie in Portland. Wasn't like Kyrie could save us from that. And Portland didn't have Damian Lillard, their best player. We got beat by Anthony Simons and Nurkic. Like, we got beat by Dennis Smith Jr. I think the fans, well, I know the fans have this different perception of like the business behind basketball or what the Nets are trying to do here. I think behind the scenes, the Brooklyn Nets are fighting for Kyrie to get some type of exemption to play at home. And I also think that if that doesn't happen, the Nets are banking on things evolving and changing more by the time we do get to the playoffs. These regular season games, the Nets don't take as serious as the fans, right? Tonight, there's a regular season game in Chicago against the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls have beat the Nets twice. The first two times the Nets met the Bulls, it was the second half of a back-to-back. I was at the last game, which was in Brooklyn. Came down to the wire, very last, you know, minutes of the game, and the Nets hung with them, but ultimately lost. Couldn't stop DeRozan. He gave us 30. Couldn't stop LaVine. He gave us 30. And then in the first matchup, it was like Durant was on an island trying to will us to victory on his own in the fourth quarter. Everyone went missing and it all unraveled. Tonight's a big game. I don't think the Nets are looking at this game, though, like fans are looking at it, right? Fans are looking at it as, okay, this is the number one seed versus the number two seed. We play this team four times. We got to split with this team, or, you know, we got to fight with this team and win games for a playoff position. Because no, I don't think the Nets are looking at it like that. And I'm going off of just what I've seen the last couple years. The regular season games are experiments. Steve Nash has spoken about experimenting with rotations and lineups and guys playing with different guys in the lineup and, you know, collecting data and information on how things work or don't work. They're not looking at every regular season game like we got to win every game. Yeah, there's a competitive side to these guys. They're trying to win every game. But if we don't win the game ultimately because we kept a rotation in for too long or this guy was on the bench, whatever. At least we found out something. That's how I think the Nets look at it. They're not about to ante up $5,000. I think someone totaled it up and they were like, for Kyrie to play the rest of the season, this was January 4th. For Kyrie to play the rest of the season, the Nets would only have to pay $80,000 in fines. Only have to pay $80,000 in fines for a player to play, and you could still potentially lose those games? They're not doing that. If they were to pay a fine, maybe it'd be in the playoffs. But I really think the Nets are holding out that in 4 months, things will be different. Whether a mandate changes, whether Kyrie gets an exemption, whatever, things will be different. And they're not looking to pay the state of New York $5,000 for this one guy to be able to shoot threes and dribble a basketball. It's just not going down. I know it was news that popped up today, but this wasn't the first I had heard of it, so I didn't really pay too much attention to it. But, you know, I don't mind speaking on it for people listening that might not have heard this, that, you know, there's a fine that the Nets would have to pay if Kyrie were to play. It isn't the type of thing where, like, the police are going to escort him out of the building. He could play, and the Nets would just have to pay a fine, and they're not going to do that. I don't think they are. You know, there were people that said that they weren't going to let him play unvaccinated on the road. That thought process changed. So maybe they could. I don't want to say what they're not going to do. I just don't think it would be the move. I think the Nets have plenty of talent, plenty of guys. They just need to figure it out, and Coach Nash needs to figure it out. And they got to play better. They have to have a sense of urgency from the beginning of the game. It can't be, late in the game, oh, now we got to get it together, and then it's too little too late. You can't make a shot. You can't get a stop. The energy's got to be there from the beginning, and they have to realize that they are the hunted, not the hunter. You have the big three. You have you play in New York. You have the number two seed in the East. You're going to get everyone's best shot. It doesn't matter if it's the Spurs like it was on Sunday, Greg Popovich's team, some no-names coming off the bench giving the Nets work. You're going to get their best shot. You are the hunted. Everyone wants to knock you off so that they can say they beat the Nets. They beat Kevin Durant. They beat James Harden. They beat Kyrie Irving. The Nets got to realize the situation they're in and play up. And they will. And they're not going to pay $5,000 for Kyrie to be on the court. It's just not what... I just don't think that's good business, smart business. And even if they can afford it, they're not going to do it. Maybe playoffs. I won't say what they won't do. All right, we're rolling along here. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Usually this is KM till AM, but we're going till 9:50, 10 o'clock, when Brooklyn Nets Radio, Chris Carino, and Tim Capstraw will have the call for the Brooklyn Nets versus the Chicago Bulls out at the United Center in Illinois. Let's take a quick break, and I'll BRB. The Joe Judge is fired party continues tonight right here on The Fan. This is Keith McPherson. I'm having my first and last words on Joe Judge being let go. I mean, I wasn't really shocked. I was more relieved, and I don't follow the team as far as like my rooting interest. I'm just around fans who root for the Giants, and I work at The Fan where we talk about the Giants. This is New York, of course. I was relieved. I told one of my friends, I'm like, the Giants are one of the like original teams, right? They're a proud franchise, and for them to be this low and to be accepting it, it's just wrong. It's weird. It doesn't feel right. Like, it's shameful for them to force this on their fans. And the fans won. In my open tonight, I tip my cap to Giants fans, because in the weeks leading up to this, I got on this mic and I thought about it and I said, hey, you don't have to accept this. You know that, right? There are more ways than ever for you to express how much you don't like this situation, how much you don't like this head coach, how mad you are about how things have gone. You don't have to just take what you've been given and keep it moving. And Giants fans, I think Monday, you know, it was really loud when Black Monday came and you had heard week 15, 16 that Joe Judge was going to be the head coach next year. And when that day came where, you know, usually there's some surprises, and the surprise of the day was the Miami Dolphins cutting ties with Brian Flores. And the rumors were that, you know, he had butted heads with the owner and he didn't like Tua. Understandable. He wanted to draft Justin Herbert, and just look at Tua and look at Herbert. But the Giants not changing course after that, I think that would have been crazy. One of the first things I said was, what a clown show. Brian Flores becomes available. You don't even want to interview him? There's a bunch of teams that are going to be interested in his services. That's the guy that makes sense to me. He seems like the type of guy that stands on the podium and means what he says. He seems like the type of guy that gets the most out of his players. Look at what he did in Miami. Look at what he got out of those guys. They won 7 games in a row. And now you can interview him. All it took was to sacrifice Joe Judge. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. He had his opportunity. And yeah, injuries happen, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. This thing was built to self-destruct. And it did. So now the search is on for the next Giants GM, and then the next Giants head coach. And then you get to walk into an offseason as a fan base excited about the prospects for next year, with nothing to sour that right now, at least. A good draft. Hopes will be high. Let's go back to the phones. Thanks for holding. Matt is in New Jersey. What's up, Matt? You're on The Fan.
Yeah, you just segued right into the questions I had for you. Who do you think the next GM is going to be? who you think he picks for the next head coach. Want to hear your opinion? I have mine. Thanks.
Yeah. Now, this is very fresh, and obviously we only know, you know, the Giants have been putting out who they're talking to, which I like the transparency, and I think that's the right way to do this, like, you know, be proactive about it and put it out there, right? They're doing the Zoom interviews. They're going to bring some different guys in. And so far, they've started off with Bills assistant GM Joe Schoen. Good. The Bills, you know, they were a laughingstock for some time. And they used to be going to Super Bowls. But now it seems like they have righted this ship. So maybe you pluck someone out of there and see what they've been doing all the way in Western New York. And then Cardinals vice president of pro personnel Adrian Wilson got an interview. The Cardinals have seemed to have righted their ship, and they've been winning. For me, I don't really have a GM. I'm not going to throw out the obvious names. I just think it's so lazy when people are like, Lewis Riddick. It's like the only name you can think of. Or what's Bill Polian doing? No, that's not the answer. Like, the answer, the Giants are supposed to know the answer. The Giants are supposed to be the ones with the contacts, with the people around the league that know, hey, who's next up? That's what I hope the Giants do. I hope the Giants find the guy that's next up, the guy that's rumored to be the next great GM, the guy that NFL circles are saying, hey, this guy is going to be a good GM one day. That's who they should hire. And then whoever that guy sees fit to be the head coach will be the next head coach. There's enough candidates out there. You know, I've heard like Doug Peterson thrown out there. I don't think that'll work. Former Eagles head coach. And then obviously the way things went down at the end of last year with Doug Peterson and Joe Judge, I don't think you're trying to bring that energy over here. But there's a lot of other names out there. We heard in the last couple weeks about Jim Harbaugh. I don't think he'll be the guy, but maybe he gets an interview. Who knows? I think he's probably going back. Jim Caldwell is a name that I've heard floated around. And then, obviously, now Brian Flores. Brian Flores seems like an ideal guy if you can land him. I think the Miami Dolphins made a big mistake letting him go. I don't know who they're going to replace him with to do much better. So as we get more information, as more guys are interviewed, as we find out about other coaching vacancies and GM vacancies and who goes where and who does what, then we'll have a better idea of the conversation around who the Giants should hire. But this is all brand new. It's been a little bit over 24 hours since we learned that Joe Judge would be fired. So I don't have that answer yet, but we'll get there. Steve in Secaucus, what's up, Steve? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Kate, thanks for taking the call. So you know what? You're the quarterback that I got my first interception in Pop Warner. Thank you very much.
Yeah, did you play against me or are you making jokes?
I'm kidding you. I'm kidding you.
I definitely threw some picks at Pop Warner. Tell me more.
Yeah, no. Listen, you need to help me out with something, man, because, you know, I don't understand the New York fan base. You know, you got a guy, first of all, let me tell you this. I'm a diehard, biggest Packer fan on the East Coast you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I loved Mike McCarthy, okay? Now, that guy was available for this New York area, and people were calling a fan saying, you know what, we don't want that guy, you know, he's no good. He's this, he's that. I mean, meanwhile, he took him to a Super Bowl. And the 13 seasons he was there, they were in the playoffs, I believe, 11 times. Okay? I can't understand why that the people around here didn't like him. Did you have any feeling for that?
Yeah,
with the Cowboys,
I'm a Cowboys fan, and when the Cowboys got him, I was excited about it because I wanted anyone but Jason Garrett. A guy that had a Super Bowl ring and a guy that had success against Dallas. Like, he beat Dallas in the playoffs in 2014 and 2016. I'm like, okay, he's got the formula for us. Bring him over here.
Let me ask you this, Keith. Don't you think, and I'm a diehard fan, that Aaron Rodgers was part and parcel in forcing him out of there?
Of course.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers hasn't shown to be the best guy, but he gets his way. And if he doesn't like McCarthy, they're going to roll with the quarterback over the head coach. He doesn't really like his coach he has now. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is an interesting cat. But back to McCarthy and him possibly coming here. You know, there was a video that went out about what McCarthy did in his year off, right? They showed him, like, studying and taking the year off and really trying to dive in and get into the X's and O's and change his process or whatnot. And
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There was a video that circulated, and not everybody bought that, but Jerry Jones bought it, and look what Jerry Jones has. Last year, doesn't count. Without Dak, the Cowboys are running out Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci played at the school that I played at, and he was a seventh-round pick. Like, there's no way you're going to win a game with Ben DiNucci. But
I mean, listen, if Brady's not in Tampa Bay, come on. You know, it just, you know, the list goes on and goes on. I mean, you know, and as far as New York, you know, Gettleman came in as a tough guy. And I think that the judge tried to do the same thing. You know, he tried to emulate the guy, you know, with that tough look, that tough attitude. I personally don't think he knew football. I really didn't think so. If you looked at him on the sidelines, the cat was like, you know, he was like walking around, had the headphones on, and I never heard him talk. Never, you know.
He was a special teams coach. So to me, it's like if you're a special teams coach, you're in the film room looking at the punt team, the kickoff team, the field goal team. And I know people like say that it's a third of the game, but it's not. If you never made it to like coach a position or be a coordinator for offense or defense, and then your next step is to go from coaching special teams to being the head coach, you're in over your head. And the thing about Joe Judge is I think we all saw through his facade that he put on. I think he thought, okay, this is the Giants, this is New York. All right, the guy went to Mississippi State. Like, I feel like he had to come in here and pretend too much. And something I said on the radio last week was New Yorkers see right through the fake. They see right through pretenders. Either you got it or you don't. And I think pretty quickly we found out that Joe Judge didn't have it. Even last year when the whole thing happened with the Eagles and the Eagles – putting in Nate Sudfeld or whatever, and he decided to get on the post-game press conference and play tough. It's like, coach, don't play tough now. Play tough on the field and win enough games so we're not doing this at the end of the year, so that we just get in and we're not relying on our rival to do us a favor. You know, it just, none of it really added up to me. The math wasn't mathing with Joe Judge.
And you're right, and you know what? I can say the same thing across the river. That guy over there in the green, he's a defensive guy. Okay, he was up and down that San Francisco sideline like crazy. Did you ever see him move at one time?
No, it's a little different vibe this year with Rob Saleh. And maybe he needs a better defense to get him fired up. I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, man, I really appreciate you taking my call. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Steve. I don't know. I have no issue with Robert Saleh. I think he's just changing his demeanor from being a D coordinator who's got to get his defense fired up, and he had a beast defensive line, and, you know, he's getting those guys juiced, to being the head coach now that's got to deal with the refs, he's got to, you know, manage the game, he's got to deal with both sides of the ball, complete personnel, and his coaches. I think Saleh just kind of graduated from being the coach that could yell on the sidelines at his defense and get his defense going. I think he's just, you know, figuring out how to become a head coach, which takes time. I think he'll be fine in year two, though. I think he definitely learned a lot this year, and I don't think he's faking at all. He seems very transparent, sure of who he is and himself as a coach, and I think that's only going to shine through more when he gets his team, when he gets a better team, when he gets the players that he wants out there playing the style of play that he wants. So we'll see. It's tricky, man. It's tricky. This coaching search for the Giants is going to be a very interesting one over the next few weeks, starting with the GM. But we'll be here to talk about it right on The Fan. This is Keith McPherson. We're still rocking. We got about another hour and 10 minutes until Brooklyn Nets radio, until the Brooklyn Nets face the Bulls out in Chicago. I see the calls coming in. I will get to you. Stay on hold. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. You are now listening to the smooth sounds of WFAN. Keith McPherson on the night shift, taking your calls, talking sports with the fans in New York. Let's get right back to it. Keith McPherson on The Fan, talking Giants, talking Joe Judge, but Before the break, we were talking a little Jets, Robert Saleh. I've got faith in him. I think they got a good one, and I think he'll build on what he did this year, next year. Matt is in Long Island, big Jets fan. What's up, Matt? You're on the Fan.
Keith, what's going on, man?
What's up? What's up? Yeah, bro. Good to hear you. How you been?
Not bad. Just want to call and congratulate you again, first and foremost. But
appreciate it.
We both went to that first game. I think we both left by the third quarter of the home game. I wanted to see what you thought about the progress of Wilson throughout the year and where you think we probably stand next year, maybe what pieces we need to add.
Yeah, man, I got you, bro. First off, that first game, the energy. One thing I've said about that from the jump is that the energy that Jets fans brought week one, like the tailgate, the atmosphere outside of the stadium, was electric. It was awesome. The J-E-T-S, Jets. But then as soon as Wilson threw that first pick, it came down a notch. Then he threw the second one, it came down some more. And then by the third one, sucked all the life out of the building. And I was like, no way could this kid's home debut go any worse. But you know what? He built on that. He got hurt, and he had to sit down for a bit. And then when he came back, he was better. And, I mean, I liked him at BYU. And on air here, I've said what I really like about him is two things that you need in a quarterback in the NFL. You need some moxie. You need a competitor like him. Like, he's going to, you know, he's going to compete. And then that second thing is, you know, a guy that can improvise and make something out of nothing. He's got scramble ability. That run that we saw late in the season, I think it was week 16 or 17. That run, just that run alone was one of the highlights of the NFL entire season. If you have a quarterback that can take off and do that, you gotta work on that guy. Because, you know, the running is there. If he gets better going through his reads, he gets some better receivers, a little better line, I think he's going to be fine. Some people think he's undersized, but, you know, he's a gunslinger. He's got an arm on him. I think the Jets got one, and he's young, man. What's he, 20, 21? Like
21, 22, yeah, he's a young kid. You know, the thing that I really enjoyed the most about him, granted, statistically against the Bills, the guy did not put up many numbers, but not for nothing. With the holes we had in the O-line, with the holes we have at receiver, the guy didn't, you know, do anything wrong at all, in my opinion. I think it was one of his better games against one of the better defenses in the league.
Right. I was just about to say, and we got to think about who this kid is facing. He's facing Bill Belichick, right? And they always talk about Bill Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks.
Tears him apart every time.
And you know what? It's exactly what happened to him, as expected. But he bounced back from that. He could have let that one game kill him. 22-year-old kid. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him in New York. I think his temperament is good. I think he understands it. You know, seeing him in the post-game press conferences, he doesn't seem rattled. He talks about, you know, it's just football. I've played a lot of football games. We saw the viral video of him gifting tickets at the diner. Like,
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm higher on Zach Wilson right now, year one, than I was on Sam Darnold, than I was on Daniel Jones. They just got to keep putting talent around him, and they got to protect him, keep him upright.
I agree with you, man. I mean, they're talking Ridley possibly. I don't know if I really believe in that too much. I mean, I don't know what the guy's got going on. Missed a bunch of games for mental reasons, personal reasons, and whatnot. I wouldn't personally mind him on the team. I'm not sure, but I also don't want to break the bank for the guy.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I would break the bank for a guy that, you know, had to check out. And it's understood, mental health issues, he had to take care of that. And they even, you know, said he's got to get out of Atlanta. You know, that's where I think he's from, or, you know, that's like a bad area for him. So a change of scenery would be great. But I think they can draft receivers. I think they've got a couple guys that they found this year with Moore, and we'll see what Corey Davis looks like next year. Berrios.
Michael Carter, man. Michael Carter. Elijah Moore, great year for what he had. And, you know, I think we got some good pieces to build around, man.
Yeah, there were some guys that stood out this year for the Jets. And you build with those guys and you fill the holes around them. You get a good draft and you keep it rolling for next year. I think the Jets are closer than the Giants are. And even though the Giants, you know, have a good roster or have bigger names on the roster, I think in the AFC, which we've seen in the AFC this year, there was it came down to the last game, right? 2-9-7 teams fighting to get in, and then the Steelers get in with a tie on their record. I think the AFC is going to be closer, and the Jets could be in that pack fighting to get into the playoffs next year. I don't think the Giants are going to sniff the playoffs next year.
I don't think so. I think they're a little far off, but you know what? We'll see what happens.
Life of a Jets fan, we will see. Right? There's a lot of time. Thanks for the call, Matt. It's my guy, Matt, one of the bleacher creatures out there on Long Island. Big Jets fan. And, yeah, we saw that first Jets-Patriots game. My wife is a Patriots fan. I pulled up to MetLife in a Vince Carter jersey, not repping either team. And it was a scene. It was a great scene. It was great until the game started. I'll never forget the parking lot and the tailgate and the energy that Jets fans had before they actually saw the game start. And then it was just like, you know, guys throwing their programs and balling up their towels. And here we go. Same old Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets just end the season. But, nah, I think things are looking up for the green and white. And I think the Jets aren't that far off. I think you got your quarterback. You got to develop him. Got to keep working with him. Got to keep him upright. And put some talent around him. I think he's the right guy for New York. 22 years old. Looks like he's 20. Looks like he's 15. But Zach Wilson, you got my vote. And Robert Saleh and some of the other things that the Jets seen. I mean, what were Jets fans expecting this year? They weren't expecting the Jets to win 10 games. I think there were a lot of bright spots for the Jets that they can build on going into next year. All right, back to the Giants. Still talking about the head coach search, the GM search. What happens next? The fans got to demand more. Let's get another call in. Ben is in Morristown, New Jersey. What's up, Ben? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you? You know, actually, I'm a little sad, man. This is a tough situation for Judge. I mean, Gettleman gave the coaching staff a horribly constructed roster, and then when injuries hit, Judge just didn't have the experience on how to manage it. Man, he got buried in the messaging. You know, honestly, if I was like, every one of those Belichick assistants should be taking summer public relations classes up in Boston College, because they all suck at messaging. You know, they all try to be stoic like Belichick, but they don't have the substance and gravitas that they have. And, yeah. And I think that's kind of the way the Giants have to pivot now, is give me a coach with substance and achievement. You know, like, it's not just, you know, not just like fake messaging. You know, like, that's why I want someone like a Doug Peterson, who's won a Super Bowl, who has a winning record in the Andy Reid coaching tree, or Jim Harbaugh. Would like to know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, it makes sense, right? You've gone from Ben McAdoo, Pat Shermer, and Joe Judge, and they all seem like guys that were more talk than walk. They all seem like guys that, like, just didn't really have the right temperament or persona to match the team. Now, this team is going to be expected to struggle next year, and you need the right voice and the right leader to deal with the fans and the media and to just deal with the locker room. I feel like Joe Judge, some guys did come out and speak for him on his behalf. Some guys said they loved him. But overall, I don't think he had the locker room. And they probably had their exit meetings, and they probably really took a pulse of the locker room, and they, you know, saw guys that were, like, more indifferent than anything. Like, yeah, he can go. So the next guy that comes in, he doesn't necessarily have to be a rah-rah guy, but there's got to be more weight to his words. You know, there's got to be more weight to his being. Like, he's got to at least have somewhat of a resume that says, like, this guy has got it done elsewhere and he's going to get it done here. You can't bring in a guy that's unproven again, because then you're just going to be in the same revolving door again. You still there? Nope, Ben is not there, but thanks for the call, Ben. Let me know if y'all agree. The next Giants head coach has to be somebody that's won elsewhere, someone that guys respect, someone that can come in and demand respect right away, someone that doesn't have to fake it, someone that doesn't have to sell you on what the culture is. You see it. Someone that doesn't have to tell you that guys are calling in and want to come back, and, you know, kind of like a make up a story as if, like, you know, what's going on inside the walls are better than what we're seeing outside the walls. The next coach has to know what he's walking into, accept it, and accept the challenge ahead, and be able to translate that to the fans, to the media, about the process of what is going on here and what is going to come. It's going to be tough, but I think it's better to do that with a new face and a new voice with a clean slate than for Joe Judge to be trying to continue to sell you on the culture and what he's doing and his logic behind things, and then this tough guy bravado that doesn't actually match up with a team that's consistently losing games and not tough on the field. You know, it's always time for another break. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take a minute, and we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.